That's you too on Radio 3 with Lemon. Friday morning, how are you doing? 13 minutes past 10. A couple of years ago, I talked to photographer Daniel Gorshon about a few projects to do with East Timor. Now, Dan's back with something extra this time. So good to see you back, first of all.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Now, just remind me what we chatted about before. It was with Alex McMillan as well, wasn't it, a couple of years ago?
That's right. Yeah, we were talking about Timor.
How you've been just covering it, or what was it? Was it a book?
Alex and I went there and did some travel stories. We did a dive story. We did a story about a thing called Sparrow Trail, which is from World War II history.
And so here we are again, but you're doing something rather different now, the Humming Fish Foundation. Tell me more.
Yeah, well, Humming Fish is a charitable organization that was registered in Hong Kong a year ago. And the charity is basically a natural progression of the work that I was doing in East Timor and still doing in East Timor, which is basically what I call adding value to nature. So I help community-based ecotourism and green entrepreneurs to basically add value to nature so that they have a strong financial incentive to protect it.
So because you obviously loved going to the place and you got to know it very, very well, and there would have been an element of trust developed because you're a photographer, you just thought you'd like to sort of, I don't know, give a bit more or help them get a bit more. Is that what it was?
You know, Phil, it's basically I'm a naturalist and I love nature and culture. And to see such a beautiful place that hasn't been recognized as such seemed like an injustice to me. That's kind of why I got involved with East Timor. You know, when I did the book in 2006, it was the first coffee table book that had ever been published on Timor.
But with recognition, very often comes tons of people that they might not want to see there, trampling all over their lovely...
That's for sure. And tourism can be a destructive force.
Yeah.
So the charity is specifically targeted towards nature-based tourism, or for travel more than tourism.
What was, at the time... I know you're dealing with some other places as well, but let's stay with Timor. What was their attitude towards tourism at the time, generally speaking?
I don't think anybody even had... It wasn't on their minds at all. I mean, there was no concept
about tourism. There's so much politics going on there as well. I mean,
well, they had other issues that are more important than developing tourism back, you know, when they first became an independent country.
So what sort of things did you maybe suggest to your friends?
Well, what I, you know, at the very beginning in Timor, Phil, a lot of there were some experts coming in who were trying to set a national strategy for the development of tourism in Timor.
Okay.
But I was more interested in protecting natural resources. So as these experts came in and said that Timor's undeveloped, I was actually talking about it as unspoiled.
Yeah, that makes sense. Glass half full.
So I've been trying to steer the development of tourism in Timor into that direction where actually what they have is golden already.
Yeah.
All they have to do is not destroy it.
That makes sense. There's a notion across the world, and I think there's a notion here, that to make something tourist-friendly, you have to add gimmicks.
Yeah. Nature is fantastic.
It does
you cannot
okay,
improve
it?
Upon nature, really.
I'm looking at a load of... I mean, you've got an event tomorrow called Taste East Timor Through Its Coffee, but you've also got something about soap going on here, a simple thing, kind of a homemade cottage industry thing. Tell me what that's about.
Well, basically, this is a part of our what we call our green entrepreneur projects.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're working with small groups or associations who are involved in creating products which are nature-friendly, organic, naturally sustainable. And, you know, I met these ladies from Timor who are making this soap. And it's absolutely fantastic stuff. Mm. It's all natural. They use all local ingredients. And they're just selling it in the local market.
For zip. For not much
at all. For like a buck, you know. And then when I saw that, and I'm like, you know what? If we just brand this, if we just create a new packaging, we could sell it for 10 times that amount in a resort or in a spa.
Well, when it comes to the West, and by the West, I suppose I do mean five-star hotels, wherever they might be, even in Asia, they love this stuff. Anything to do with chemicals or cleanliness, if you can get a pure version of it, yee-haw, you're in, I think.
You know, Phil, it's a great product, and it's really natural. But also, through this project, we can completely change the lives of these people, mm-hmm. of these women, and their children can eat better. They can go to school. They can buy shoes. You know, we could double their income just by doing nothing but just rebranding.
And there's no high-techness or anything. It's old school.
It's every bar of soap they make is by hand.
Yeah.
And they age it for 3 weeks before we even package it.
Was this by accident you just came across this, just through your travels?
Yeah, you know, because I've been a photographer 25 years.
Yeah.
And so I know that imagery can really have a big impact on how people perceive things.
Hmm.
And kind of what got me interested in starting the charity was the realization that you actually cannot sell tourism without pictures, which is why a photographer is now involved in development.
Yeah. Very often, lots of things to use or drink or eat are marketed these days as fair trade or free trade or whatever. And somehow that just sounds so... It's the principle, isn't it? But those two words, they tend to go, well, first thing, what is it? And it becomes like a business deal. And
yeah.
I don't get that impression from this.
No, we're not into that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. Corporations will put something in a brown wrapper and call it all natural when it's...
For
when
their corporate responsibility and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and so there is definitely a marketing element. So when you talk about ecotourism or organic or green, that can just be a marketing ploy.
Hmm.
But we are actually working directly with local people. We're adding value to nature. We're trying to encourage local people to do things that are environmentally sustainable.
It's funny, this, isn't it? These words you're using are things that tourism boards love to boast about. But to, you know, your aunt or your grandmother, she'll say, what will she say? What's that?
Yeah.
Eco, green, what is it? And that's wasting time when she has to ask that question.
Yeah. You know, for example, like a group of local fishermen who live in a coastal area,
okay.
if they do unsustainable fishing, they're not doing that because they hate the marine ecosystem.
No,
it's because they're trying to provide for their families.
Mm.
So what we do is we give them an alternative through, say, for example, dive tourism, which is 100 times more valuable than coastal fisheries. So we can relieve the stress on them to overfish an area. And the funny thing about nature-based tourism is the better you protect it, the more valuable it becomes to the nature tourist.
It's often a robbing Peter to pay Paul situation because, for instance, guys that want to grow corals in certain parts of the world, yeah, it looks wonderful, but it's going to annihilate other things that are down the food chain because the coral isn't meant to be there, etc., etc., and it goes on.
Yeah. Well, it's all about balance for me. I, you know, humans have to live. We have to consume what we consume, but we need to make sure that there's a balance between our life and nature.
Okay, just whilst we're talking, tell me what the website is where people can find out more about you.
Okay, the charity website is hummingfish.org,
mm-hmm.
And we have many projects going on there. We're working in Haiti, East Timor, China, Cambodia. We're maybe start a project in Thailand soon.
But all small stuff.
Some of it's small. We're working with government. So like in Timor, we're working with little groups, but we're also very much involved with the president and the prime minister. So we're working kind of, we're advocates for nature, if you will.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of powerful interests that would advocate for a resort. But
there's a degree of trust there because, I mean, over the years, the president and the prime minister of Timor have shown themselves to be pretty interested in this kind of stuff. Now we go to China. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a different deal.
That's an interesting point because in Timor, in China, in every country that I work in, you'll find individuals who really do care.
These guys are the bosses. That's the good thing.
That's the good thing. but in every bureaucracy, you'll find individuals that believe like you do, and you just target those people, you work with them, and you try to move the ball forward. That's, right. That's what we do.
Well, let's stick on the positive stuff and not get into a bash about China.
Never underestimate the power of positive thinking, Phil.
True. Tell me about the coffee.
Okay, the coffee project is basically working with a small community of coffee farmers in East Timor
mm-hmm.
who are growing. You know, Timor has one of the top coffees in the world, and they're number 10 in the world for organic agriculture.
Do we know about it in general? Am I going to find it in the
people
supermarket?
People who know coffee know about Timor
okay.
because it's more of a wholesale
mm-hmm.
Line. But you can find it in the Starbucks. They, I think, maybe not in Hong Kong, but in other countries, you can buy Timor Arabica at Starbucks.
And, do they package that as, you know, basically patting the poor people on the head by drinking their coffee?
Not really. It is a certified organic. It's a very high-end coffee, so I okay. think they pretty much brand it as that.
Are you going to, I mean, you said what you're going to do with the soap, which is a great idea, but what about this? Because it's far more accessible. I mean, it's everybody wants a coffee. You get it down the street.
Well, coffee is a really hot commodity right now.
Mm.
And so everybody's looking for coffee. Coffee traders, coffee groups, coffee connoisseurs are always looking for a really nice coffee. So with this project, these coffee farmers are actually isolated from the market because of the remoteness of their village,
okay.
and the road that leads to the village has been damaged. So the coffee traders can't justify the cost of exporting their coffee. So what we're doing is we're working with them directly. And we're creating a relationship between the farmers and the consumer. So there's no middleman. And because we're not for profit, there's no, you know, we can cover the added cost of exporting their coffee by selling it directly to the consumer.
Will we get it here? I mean, I know we will tomorrow.
You know, they have it. This Color Brown Cafe, which is in Saigon,
right.
they have some.
They already.
I carried a sack of 10 kilos of green bean over my shoulder when I came back from Timor last time and I gave it to them.
See, we're talking two quite simple commodities here. And the other thing is, yes, let's give these guys a chance to make more. But do they have the infrastructure to make loads more if you guys get them various business deals?
Yeah, and you know, we're not supporting every coffee farmer.
Oh, I understand.
What we want to do is we want the people who are doing things that are organic and environmentally sustainable, we want to support them. We want to make them profitable because that's the incentive they need to continue to do things in an environmentally sustainable way.
Mm. So you need to be hands-on. I guess you're coming and going all the time to these places.
Yeah.
You can't just do this on email, can you?
No, you can't. You got to be there. And when you're dealing with fishermen or coffee farmers, you got to
trust.
Develop a rapport with them. Mm. They have to learn to trust you because there is a lot of trust involved.
No kidding. I mean, quite rightly, over the years, a lot of people in these countries have been screwed by foreigners, basically.
That's for sure. I mean, you know, Haiti and Timor are both countries that have, you know, a difficult past, and they've learned some hard lessons about foreign occupiers.
No kidding. Well, if people want to find out more about the Humming Fish Foundation, of course, check them out online. But tell me what's happening tomorrow at the cafe anyway.
So tomorrow night at the Color Brown Cafe in Saigon, we're going to be having a coffee tasting and a little fundraiser. We're going to sell some books. My book on Timor we're going to sell. And they have this cupping parties that they do regularly where they invite guests to come and try out different coffees. So there's usually a $100 fee to do this, which includes the coffee. And the books are $350, but 100% of that's all being donated to the charity.
What else is going on for you in the world of photography?
Well, you know, I'm pretty much focused on the charity right now. But I've been traveling quite a bit. I mean, Haiti was great. So the images that I did in Haiti were quite interesting.
So you got something up your sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let us know when it comes out, Dan. Lovely to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
And I know that it cannot. shorty that you don't show love. Oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. Wanna get with me with no money? Oh no, I don't want no one.
TLC on Radio 3 with No Scrubs. I was talking there to Dan Groshong, who is the founder and director of the Humming Fish Foundation. Lots of stuff going on, including a very cool coffee tasting tomorrow in Saigon. Do check them out online.